This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because when I want my spicy shrimp pad Thai, I want it on time. Because baby, there's no time like the present. Especially when it's pad Thai related. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. On time, pad Thai, baby.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimums apply.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
All right, Chris.
Good evening, then. Good afternoon, everybody. How the devil are we all? Feeling a bit screwy still? I mean, I said the end of an era, I called the show, and 11 years. I mean, you know, we've had reasonably good times before. You know, we've been in a few cup finals. We'd won a few League Cups under Martin O'Neill and we thought that they were absolutely brilliant years. But Casper's been here through all the, what I would call, real success. You know, the record-breaking season we got promoted, the Great Escape, the Premier League winning squad, Europe, quarterfinals, Champions League, FA Cup, Munich. I could go on. I mean, he is, and it's, you're not often bandied this world around. We've had some great goalkeepers at this club. We've had the likes of Gordon Banks. We've had the likes of, you know, Peter Shilton. He's up there. You could argue maybe not, you know, going back to the World Cup, of course, but you could argue probably bigger and better than both of those with what he's achieved for the club. And I know at the start, well, a few weeks ago, I did the Snob Marrier Boy, the Keep Stay Loan, with Craig about who we should keep, who we should sell, and possibly loan out. And I was saying that possibly Kasper, I said I should go, to be honest with you. I'm not going to sort of lie. But now it's actually happened. It's like, really? It kind of pinched me. Pinched me, because is it true? It is true, though, Ant, isn't it?
It is, and it's one of those things that we've been talking about for a while. There's been whispers of it for a couple of months that he might go. But, like, the whispers of it and then it actually happening are two very different things. And yes. It's like you say, like, I've been one that says that either this year or next year, we probably do need to move on for him. But now it's happened, it feels surreal watching him sort of holding up the knee scarf and like, having his unveiling with the Nice fans. It feels strange.
It does. Welcome along. Thanks for joining us. A bit of an odd time to be going out, but I suppose I was at the point of not expecting anything to happen in the transfer market, so I was trying to find a window to do the show. But thanks for joining us. Your details are in the description below, but where can people find you and sub to you and follow you on your channels?
So, Ants Leicester fan channel, daily streams at the moment, doing also coming back with the match previews, home and away match day vlogs. So, make sure to check that one out. And @Ant_LCFC on Twitter.
You know how to find him, you know where to sub to him. And of course, do us a favour and please sub to this channel as well. It is much appreciated. Let's get a few early comments in here. James is in. Afternoon, Claire. How the devil are you? I don't know, pinching myself at the moment, James. Mike Green, afternoon, Chris. I hope you are well, Mike, and I hope the news was all okay for you yesterday. Big up Danny Ward, finally number one. Well, we'll come on to that. And I think we might disagree, me and Ant, on that one, but we'll see. As James said there, hit the likes and subscribe. It's sad to see a player like Schmeichel, who's been a superb servant and a legend at Leicester, but it's the right time to move on. Time for Danny Ward or Iverson to fight for that number one spot. I think you are right. I said before, you know, my son is in his mid-20s, but since he sort of has really followed Leicester and been old enough to sort of know, you know, what it's all about, he's only ever known Kasper in goal.
Well, it's what, 12 years now, 11 years? So
11 years, yeah.
He's been here for a long time, and it's not just for fact, because you see a lot of players that are like at clubs for like 11, when they're there for like 11, 12, 13 years. But yeah, how many of them, though, are actually like a mainstay in the team, like Schmeichel has been throughout it? Yeah. I think it's not just the fact of how long he's been here, it's how sort of active and important he's been whilst he's been here as well.
Yes. You know, it's not like he's been out a lot of time with injuries. You know, in all that time, I mean, Danny Ward has only ever got one Premier League start.
And he wasn't injured for that. I think that,
exactly. Yeah.
I think the thing with Danny Ward wouldn't have got that start if, and like, it's very easy to look back on it in hindsight. Danny Ward wouldn't have got that start if Schmeichel wasn't sort of starting to look around and see what's available. I think that was almost sort of starting to plan for a Schmeichel exit, which, like, it's like everyone's a genius in hindsight, but when you look back in hindsight, it's like that's when the real sort of warning sign started.
Let's get the elephant in the room out the way first. We have been linked with other players, you know, the goalkeepers coming in. Brendan's own, well, he's been out and said, and I know you don't necessarily believe anything that Brendan says, but he's come out and said, if we do buy a goalkeeper, it's only going to be a third choice. I mean, the situation we're in sort of financially, and I wonder about this, because if we're in such a bad situation financially, why hasn't Vestergaard gone with two over £10 million offers? But we don't need to go and buy a goalkeeper, do we? We don't need to go and buy a new number one and spend, you know, millions on that when we've got a £12 million goalkeeper sat there in the wings.
The thing is with it, like, we'll get on to both of Iverson and Ward, I'm sure. But
yeah,
in terms of the number three, like, we don't need to spend big money on that. You bring in an experienced keeper who's there to do that Jakubovic role and maybe play one or two games over a couple of years. But he's more there as sort of as a like leadership role, sort of basically a cheerleader in the dressing room.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, the thought of Ben Foster, people laugh at it on a 1 year deal, offer him about 20-30k a week. If not, then we'll just then like there's options like McCarthy out there. My thing is, what I don't want to see us do is go for McCarthy, Ben Foster, and let them get anywhere near that battle for the number one spot.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. I mean, you know, it said that Brendan likes to have three goalkeepers. And let's face it, you know, every season, you know, you'd look and think, oh, bloody hell, Jakubovic is still in the squad. What the hell was he doing, you know? And he never seemed to actually leave until last season. But, you know, we've got surely, I mean, this is just my opinion. For me, Ward, he's never let us down when he's played cup games. We know he's a good shot stopper when it comes to penalties. I believe he commands the box area better than Schmeichel, you know, has done over the last couple of seasons. His distribution's probably better. And we've got Iverson and we've got Stolchuk, however you pronounce him.
Who?
We've got the three keepers there anyway, haven't we?
We have, but what we've got, well, if you go into it, we've got four or five keepers, but that third choice keeper isn't a keeper that you want that's going to be one of your young keepers. That third choice keeper's got to be an older, older, more experienced head. The younger lads, if they're not going to be playing, they need to be going out on loan and getting that first team football. Like we've seen with Daniel Iverson last year going to Preston, that did him a world of good. And I'm backing Daniel Iverson to be our number one over Danny Ward. I think there's a better keeper within Iverson than Ward. I think Ward's just sort of solid, bang average, nothing particularly special, but nothing that's massively concerning. Just a bog standard.
Don't forget Mike's in the chat. He's a Welsh international here.
Well, Wayne Hennessy's getting picked in ahead of him, so.
That wasn't me, Mike. Honestly, that wasn't me.
I haven't said anything that's not true with that. Wayne Hennessy is Wales number one now, which.
Yes. Yes, I'm moving on very quickly. But I mean, we've done that before. We had, you know, who could forget Ron Zieler? He was kind of a backup. Who was the guy? Mark Schwarzer? He came in and was kind of a standing if we desperately need them. But I say, just my thought is, and I think you're probably in agreement here, he's not going to buy a new number one.
Well, that's what he's saying. So at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me next Monday if there's a goalkeeper that we've signed holding up a Leicester shirt, because I do not trust a word Brendan Rodgers says. But, I think there's got to be other priorities for us like a right winger.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Jeff, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day, whatever it is over there in the Philippines. Kathleen, a great goalkeeper for Leicester, and I wish him every success we need. I believe he will come back to Leicester as a goalkeeping coach. Ward for me is our number one. And Mike says Danny Ward is number one for Wales. Wayne has played the last flu due to injury for Danny Ward and not being fully fit. I think you might be on your own with that one with Iverson and Hennessy. Can you remember when we signed Schmeichel? I mean, he had the name. It was one of Sven's signings. He was one of Sven's obviously more successful signings, because he did sign a few elephants out there, didn't he, Sven? But he, you know, he'd been at Manchester City with Sven, he'd been at Notts Counties with Sven. And if I remember the story, he wasn't actually that keen on a move to Leicester.
No, I think from what I remember, and I was a lot younger then, like, mate, For you, it probably seems just like yesterday. For me, it was a lot longer ago.
Well, you may have been younger, but were you any shorter?
I'm still convinced I'm taller than you, but...
in fairness, I am at my shrinking age now, so quite possibly, yes.
But if I remember correctly, he wasn't more about wanting to come to Leicester. It was wanting to get out of Leeds was the big thing for him.
Mm.
And wanting for somewhere that he could sort of... He said it in his interview yesterday, somewhere that he could build his foundations and really call home.
Yes. I mean, he put a video out, hasn't he? Saying that, you know, his family, he's part of the family here and he wanted to settle somewhere he could call home. I mean, do you think he has made... I mean, we know... We call Steve Walsh Mr. Leicester, and I think Casper is very much up there and deserving of the name just as much, if not more. I mean, you know, we all remember... You know, him having to be held back when, you know, our late chairman was in the helicopter crash. You know, he's almost wondering if he's sort of looked at it and said, look, guys, you know, you're in a shtick. You've got more players than you can, you know, need and you can't get rid of them. You know, I will go if a club comes in for me.
That would be the very humble way. And you want to give someone the benefit of the doubt of it. For me, I think he's seen it as this sort of move to Nice as his last chance to get a big contract, because it's a 3-year deal at 36 years of age. How many times is clubs going to... European clubs, don't forget, give him a three-year deal in one of the nicest parts of France to live, earning big money. Go and enjoy your football and go and have a holiday.
Yes. Yeah. I think, you know, we said this, discussed this before we came live, didn't we? I mean, Nice finished fifth last season. They're in the Europa Conference playoffs, I think it is, that they actually fall into. But yeah, like you say, you know, it's a nice part of the world and he deserves it. And I don't think there's any Leicester fan that would begrudge him this move.
No, not at all. He's, you know, certain players, and he very much falls into this category, they earn the right to choose if when they move on.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm glad he's moved now, because you know certain players, they stay beyond their welcome almost, where like you start to see them decline and they're not the same player that you remember, and it can put like a real sour taste in the mouth of what they've achieved by overstaying their welcome. I think he's left at the best possible time now, because last year he struggled a bit, but he's still a top keeper. But I do think he's on that slow decline now.
Yeah, I say he goes with happy memories, doesn't he? He goes, you know, nobody can look back at Casper and go, I mean, all right, you know, it wasn't the best of seasons last season, but we still got to a European semi-final. I've got to keep saying that when we, you know, talk about last season, and we finished eighth, and nobody will go and have any bad memories of his time at Leicester.
No, that's it. And I love how you keep trying to get European semi-final in as if a certain manager didn't bottle the group stage of the first European.
Oh, here we go.
But another show for another day.
Yes.
It's like you say, there'll be very good memories, but I think there's this realisation, if we are going to really like get behind what Brendan Rodgers is doing, and it looks like we will be, then we do need a modern keeper. And Schmeichel is that typical old school keeper, good shot stopper, but that's all there is to his game in terms of the footballing side of it. But I think in terms of losing Schmeichel, we didn't get a big fee for him, understandably, at his age.
Yeah.
I think the value of the leadership experience and all of that side of it will far outweigh what we lose compared to the money that we're bringing in.
Of course. I mean, you know, for me, I've never been happy with Schmeichel as the captain. Not because of anything personal. I just don't believe any goalkeeper. I wouldn't have any goalkeeper as captain. And yes, I know Dino's off and other people, big names out there. But for me, I mean, yeah, I can see Johnny Evans becoming captain now. If not the fact that he's, you know, he might pick up a lot of injuries, I think he will be a bit like Wes Morgan, club captain. And if he's on the pitch, he's captain. And if somebody else is captain because he's on the bench, if he comes on, the band is given to him. Would you see Johnny as the obvious choice for captain?
Yeah, for sure. Because he was captain of West Brom. He's a natural leader. So, and I do prefer, like as you say, nothing against Schmeichel, but I do prefer having a captain as an outfield player.
Yeah, exactly.
My worry is, who then, if Johnny Evans is injured, is captain on the pitch?
That's the question, doesn't it, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, long term, maybe KDH, but, you know, in the short term, like
you said, it's too soon for him, isn't it, really?
It, oh, you know, it is now. That's what I say, yeah, long term. But, yeah, that is a very good question. Obviously, it's been Tillemans, but he's probably not going to be with us. So, I don't know.
I'd be really disappointed if Tielemans is here next year and he's got the armband.
Oh, I was disappointed that he had the armband in the friendlies, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, let's stick our tongue further up his backside, shall we? Yeah, it's I don't know. Jeff said, to be fair, Casper did indicate earlier this year that he was seeking a new challenge, having achieved so much with Leicester. And I think he will have done that, Casper, won't he? He will have been speaking to Brendan and Top and what have you, and giving us notice of what he was thinking.
Yeah, I can't imagine him just all of a sudden saying to them, I've agreed personal terms with Nice, let me go.
Yes.
The relationship he's got with Top, like, I don't know what his relationship is like with Brendan, but he's always very open about having a brilliant relationship with Top. You've got to imagine he's been very transparent about everything that's going on.
Yes. And Terry here said, so Casper made it clear he would only leave if Leicester had an adequate replacement. So we hold our breath and wait for some kind of comment from Rodgers. Well, we mentioned that early, didn't we? What Rodgers says and what Rodgers does, I think we all agree, even me, that there can be two different things. Scott, good afternoon, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along. I would hope for Tielemans or Maddison to be given the armband, to be honest, as much as Donny Evans would fit the role. My doubts would be his injuries. Agree, but like we said, you know, Wes Morgan at the end was still the club captain. Schmeichel was the captain on the pitch. And that's where Morgan came on and the armband was handed over. I think I said at the start, you know, legend is a big word, and sometimes we give it to players too easily. But I think we can say, use that term with Casper. Our best ever, I mean, when you come to think of saying, you know, we've had Gordon Banks, World Cup winner. We've had Peter Shilton, a World Cup semi-finalist. Would you say he's better than both?
It's hard to say for someone who never really saw Banks or Shilton playing, but I almost think what they achieved for England shouldn't sort of affect the way they're looked at Leicester. And Schmeichel's been part of the recent rise of the club in terms of the Championship, the FA Cup, the Premier League, the European quarterfinal, and also everything that he's done off the pitch as well. So for me, I'd say yes, but then that's very much the best without having a huge amount of knowledge of how good Banks and Shilton were.
I, despite what you may think, I don't remember Gordon Banks. I do remember at the end of Peter Shilton and then moving on with Mark Wallington. But like you say, forget, you know, Gordon Banks, yes, it's a World Cup winner, et cetera, et cetera. But what Casper has achieved at the club, on and off the pitch, I think does put him out there as probably, for me, definitely sort of best we've ever had, to be honest with you. I mean, 27th of June, he joined us in 2011. I think my son hasn't really known any other keeper growing up during this period. Paid $1 million for him. Got, was it $850,000? So financially, you know. And you say about Jamie Vardy, a lot of people say, like, you know, that was the best £1 million we ever spent. This comes pretty damn close.
It does, and it's one of those, as we said before, that the money that we get for him is almost irrelevant now, like, because it's so minuscule. But the money we paid for him at the time, $1 million was much more than $1 million is now. But
yes, yeah,
even with like inflation and where we were as a club back then, that's still outstanding business. Like, for a keeper to be a top Premier League keeper for as long as he has and only have a transfer fee of $1 million, it's like, you look at you look at Burn, I'm going to use Leno as an example. People are saying, oh, what brilliant business for Leno. And they've just paid 10 times as much Fulham have as what we did for Schmeichel. And Leno will never get anywhere near the level of what Schmeichel's achieved.
Totally not. And it scared me when we were being linked with him, to be honest with you. I've never been so glad for another club to sign a player as I was when Fulham got Leno.
I upset all the Arsenal fans because I called him Poppadom Risks, because every time someone takes a shot at him, it just breaks through.
Oh, I can imagine the reaction, yeah, that he got to that. But he's taken us through this journey, hasn't he? I mean, he's, you know, he has, we remember sort of, you know, his international career. He's worked his way through all the Denmark, you know, the under 19s, under 20s, you know, all the different age groups. We remember, obviously, you know, the Euros last year, or World Cup, so when, you know, with Ericsson. He's just, like I say, he's just a colossus of a man, isn't he? You know, he's dealt with the fact that he's got the name Schmeichel, obviously, but that's not, you know, sometimes it is an albatross around players' necks. Sean Wright Phillips, for example, you know, these players find it difficult sometimes to live up to that, but obviously, you know, Peter Schmeichel won a hell of a lot more. He was at a different club, different era. I'm sure if Casper had been at Man United under Alex Ferguson, he would have done. But he didn't seem to let that bother him, did he?
No, and it's like you say, certain players, and like even in other sports as well, like when you've got a father with such sort of an iconic name, it's very hard to break away from that shadow. It's like, yeah. I was watching an interview on it last night. For you guys that are interested in F1, with Mick Schumacher and Michael Schumacher. Wow. And it's like, and that's a comparison I'd use for Schmeichel and Casper and Peter, because Peter's almost like that Michael Schumacher, that sort of greatest of all time in his position. And then, like, with Mick Schumacher, and I know he's a very young driver and it seems very harsh, it feels like that he's not really broken away from that, and being part of the Ferrari Driver Academy probably doesn't help that. But Schmeichel very much has become his own man and forged his own legacy and his own career.
Yes, and to me as well, we know that commentators, it's not the easiest of jobs. I found that out from when I've done watch-alongs. and they do, as commentators, if you don't have a list of actual useless facts that you can use at different parts during the game, then you're struggling. But you know how it is. When Leicester play Southampton, you know within 10 minutes that the commentator is going to mention the 9-0. You know it's always going to happen. But with Casper, we didn't... certainly maybe at the beginning, but certainly for the vast part of his career, we never heard, oh, this is Peter's son, or he's living up to his dad's name. He did kind of break away from that. He was able to move on.
Yeah, and I think that in itself is a huge achievement, because there's always going to be the comparisons to him, but the fact that at Man City, he was very much, because Peter was there, he was Peter's son. When he moved to Notts County, his dad was very much involved with, sort of, because it was that dodgy time around Notts County, wasn't it? And he was very much behind that. Leeds, I'm not sure about, to be honest. I don't think there's any connection there. But he didn't really get on there with the Leeds fans, did they? Because they used to sing about his dad being I won't get you demonetized, but we like you. But so I do think that it was, you know, like that perfect storm of just the perfect timing for him and the club.
Yes, yeah. And like I say, it's not often you can say that players go without good wishes, but Casper certainly does. Any slight worry that this could lead to a bit of an exodus?
I reckon whatever's going to happen over the next couple of weeks would have happened regardless if Schmeichel stays or goes, if I'm completely honest. Wesley Fofana's acting like a petulant child on social media,
So I think Schmeichel staying or going wouldn't have had any significance on that.
Which Wes has got the history of, let's be honest with you.
Well, we've said this before. We're saying this. If you see how he treated his boyhood club to get his move to Leicester, why will he do it be any different for it? But the thing is, the only difference is we're not St Etienne and we weren't in as much of a need to sell a player. For us, if he acts like... If Chelsea don't meet the demands, he's going to burn a lot of bridges here while still being stuck at Leicester. So I think he needs to be careful and tread very lightly with what he is doing.
Yeah. Madison, the rumours are that Newcastle are going to come back with a third bid.
I've seen today that they're not interested anymore, and a lot of it was agent talk leveraging a new contract. So I suppose
I've seen it in the past. You can have two tabloid papers. I mean, this is how far I'm going back when we still read papers. You can have two papers and literally on the same day saying completely opposite things about the same player. And in the past, I'd heard that, like you say, that it was sort of, you know, it could be Madison trying to get a better deal out of Leicester. I think it'd be, and Darren Bent came out and said the same. I don't know if it would be a good move for him, though.
Nah. Like, Newcastle seem to be, like, they're the richest club in the world and all of this side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've just lost out on Cornet, by the looks of it, to West Ham. They've brought in Botman so far, who I think is a good signing, and Nick Pope. But they keep trying to do deals on the cheap whilst paying on like Klarna finances of instalments over the next 25 years. And it's like, the talk that you've been hearing from Newcastle fan and then the walk that they've been doing are two very different things.
Yes. Yeah. And I know you don't like talking about it, but Tielemans, I mean, it's just dragging on. And, I don't think he's going to be, I don't think he's going to do a Mahrez. I don't think he's going to sort of throw his toys out the pram. And I think, even up to now, he has, he's shown that he's still up for the fight, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just like it literally is dragging on. Either put up or shut up, basically. You know, Arsenal allegedly haven't even put an offer in for him yet. Just sign that new contract, put as many get-out clauses in it as you want, but just let us know what's going on, because he's just holding the club up, isn't it?
He is, but as much as I say sign a new contract would be great, I think if he does sign a new contract, he'll be after the window, and he's just waiting now, because as much as it's frustrating, you can't blame Tielemans for the fact Arsenal haven't put an offer on the table.
Sorry, say that again, sorry.
So as much as you want to blame, we want to blame Tielemans, you can't blame him for the fact Arsenal haven't put a offer on the table.
No, exactly that. But that's typical Arsenal. And again, as Terry said there, these agents, they're all, look at all the Madison talk last year with Arsenal as well, and in fairness to Tielemans, I've often said that had this been 12 months ago, I think there would have been a lot of clubs lined up for him. But I think it's on the back of the season that we've had, even though we got to a European semi-final, just to get it in there again, it wasn't the best of seasons. And I think that's probably why, teams aren't queuing up for him.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing being with a lot of these agent talks, and Arsenal fans are hilarious with it because they get themselves stuck to their bed sheets every time they hear a name sort of like... they're editing the ones that made me laugh. They've edited over last year Jack Grealish, James Maddison, Calvin Phillips, Rafinha, Koundé, Fofana. All of these you've seen in Arsenal shirts. How many of these players are actually ended up at Arsenal?
Yeah, a big fat nil. Totally. And just to end on this comment from Scott here, and it's something I think we touched on before we came live. Question for all of you, but do you not think that there must be something wrong going on behind the scenes at the club, i.e. Brendan and the board or Brendan and the players?
Yeah, well, there's a common denominator there, isn't there?
Yes. I mean, everybody's saying, the first manager to go will probably be Lampard, but I think there's going to be a lot of managers because of the way that the season is structured. We've got the World Cup sort of November into December. when that is finished, it literally, you know, we go back and, you know, the first game's Boxing Day. And, of course, the 1st of January, the transfer window opens. And I think there'll be a lot of managers that are looking at that break for the World Cup and being worried, because that would be an ideal time. If somebody's going to go, for them to go, because they've got a few weeks to come in and settle in before the season starts again, and then they've got the full January window.
Yeah. It's one of those. That'll be the logical time to do it. So Everton will probably do it on the 26th of December, just as they've come back, because they don't seem to do anything logically.
That's a fair point. Fair point. But look, no, I appreciate you coming on, Ant. Thank you very, very, very much. Sad to see Casper go, but let's say he's left us in a far better position than when he came into us. You know, a record-breaking season at when we got promoted, the Great Escape, the Premier League winning, the FA Cup, and, you know, even when he lifted the FA Cup, you know, getting Wes Morgan involved, that was sort of, that summed him up as a person for me. And, of course, the biggest accolade I can give him, my son called his hamster Casper. So if that isn't an accolade, and the problem is the hamster's female, so I don't get that, but that is going to be the biggest accolade. And thank you so much. It's going to be an interesting few weeks left until the window shuts. I'm sure we'll probably speak again before the end of that. Just remind people, as it is in the description below, but where people can find you.
So Ant's Leicester Fan Channel, doing daily streams talking about all the transfer nonsense that's going on. And as we say, most of it is nonsense at the moment, but also home and away match day vlogs, previews, and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you could check us out, it'd be massively appreciated.
Please, guys, go over there and do that. You might be, well, I think you are probably going to be too young, but do you remember Brian Little at the club at all?
No.
No, I didn't think. You know who he is. Let me please tell me you know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, he was the manager that began the turnaround of the club. I mean, yes, we've had a roller coaster ride since, but where we were when he took over, he got us to Wembley three times, and it was like a day out for Leicester. It was the playoff final. Who's going to be playing Leicester? After a bit of a couple of bad ones, we had the Silence of the Lambs final and Silence of the Rams final, and we got in. 7 o'clock tonight, there's a premiere on Leicester Till I Die. It's a one-to-one with Brian Little. So if you don't know about him, you want to learn something about him, Ant, or if you do remember and you want to hear him discussing his thoughts and his time at Leicester, to join us at 7 o'clock. And we're back at 9 as well for the preview, because it kicks off this weekend, Brentford. Wonder who's going to be between the sticks there.
Well, it's got to be Iverson, isn't it? Because Ward's injured, so we don't really have...
He played the game, didn't he? He played a behind-the-scenes game. Behind-closed-doors game.
It would be very harsh on Iverson if he doesn't play this first game, I think.
Well, like you've said many, many times, you never know with Brendan, do you? And thanks very much, mate. The roller coaster ride starts again on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll be throwing up a few times before it ends next May. Take care, mate. All the best. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you. All right. Let me just. Where are we? Oh no, you're still over. Let me. That's it. And he did that before I was ready to do that. There we go. Thanks to Ant for coming on. It's going to be a very, very interesting season for Leicester. Thanks. Indeed. Thanks, Ant, very much indeed. Do you know what? We live in a world now of 24-hour news. I can remember when Leicester won the Premier League, I literally did not go to bed that night, and I went into work the next day drunk, because every hour on the hour, I watched Sky News, because it was the 10 minutes, it was all about Leicester winning the Premier League, because it was repeated and repeated and repeated. We have, in this day and age, we have, like I say, Sky News, which is 24 hours. They've got to fill that up with something. You've got all the newspapers But not only have you got the newspapers, you've got the newspapers online, and then you've got things like this, myself here, that, you know, we need things to talk about. So the slightest little rumour these days, which probably 20 years ago would have been, you know, yeah, that's fine. Journalistic, you know, he knows the cleaner, he knows the woman who, you know, does the laundry. These days, if you know somebody that does the laundry at a club and she tells you somebody's coming in, it's front page news, it's breaking news on Sky. That's the world we live in today. And it's always been like that with Leicester as well. We've always been in a position where we have lost most of the team in the summer, and it never really happens. It's going to be interesting. Who knows where we do. Please, thank you very much for joining us. Please, if you haven't already, give the channel a subscribe, smash those likes, tell your friends about the channel, share it if you can. We will be back at 7 for the Brian Little one-to-one, and at 9 o'clock for the Brentford preview with Besotted Brentford. Thank you very much, guys, for all your support. Really do appreciate it. And I will see you hopefully at 7 o'clock for the preview. Take care now. Bye bye.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Better like a duo, I'll be back.
Cool, I'm out of here. Ooh, that's a wrap.
So, people are on the pitch, they think.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.